Welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast, presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money.
All right, everyone, welcome back to your crypto market rundown. Here to talk about everything that's going on in the crypto market, and we know the crypto market has been unusually volatile. We all come to the crypto market in the first place because we like the volatility. We want a little bit more risk. We want a little bit more reward. We get into crypto because of that kind of conviction and the upside that it has. But lately here in recent days, we have felt the harsh downside of the crypto market. I mean, Bitcoin tagging $59,000 on some exchanges, altcoins falling 10, 15, 20% in a single day. And everyone's kind of wondering here, guys, what in the world is going on? Now, we normally only do these crypto rundowns about once or twice a week, but we were watching all the price action and kind of seeing the commotion. And so we decided to bring on our full analyst team, or just about the full analyst team, and bring everyone on board here so that we can discuss the market and make a couple of things clear. So throughout this special edition of the crypto rundown, we're going to be explaining, you know, what's happening here in the crash. We're going to take a look at the charts. We're going to be walking through it. And then we want to kind of add to that by saying, what were some of the catalysts and decisions that led to this violent of a move, as well as talk about where the crypto market can kind of go from here, and place kind of our collective brains together to discuss the subject and crypto's ultimate path forward. So welcome back, everyone. It's good to have you. And of course, this wouldn't be a rundown without Mr. TiVo.
Yes, thank you, Brendan. Very excited to be here. Volatility is opportunity. If you're somebody that tunes into the kind of YouTube or podcast program a lot, you hear us talk about that. And again, I feel like our whole team was excited to come on and be on this program today. Literally, our whole analyst team, top to bottom, we're going to introduce them in a second, it sees a lot of opportunity and is excited to be here today because, again, while the volatility happens, it can be scary at times. There's a lot of price action going, you know, to the downside. Now today, back to the upside. There's a lot of questions. And I think the coolest thing about our team and about our community of Crypt Nation is we have so much unique personalities that cover a variety of space. From Brendan, we have Rohit here today. We have Brian and Joe. Literally, the whole team, the whole analyst team is with us here today. So it's a great episode to tune in and get some perspective from a little bit of everybody. And I know it's, you know, we all have our own opinions, but again, we all are excited to be here to talk about what's going on in the market. So if you are new here, do me a big favor. There's a thumbs up. Give it a thumbs up. It helps us grow the channel. And if you're new to the YouTube, on the bottom right, you'll see our logo. Hit that and subscribe. But let's get into it. Rohit, welcome, my friend. I know you're not a huge YouTuber with us. You only come when there's big news and big things to talk about. No other day better than today. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
Good. Yeah. It's good to be here. I'm looking forward to this for sure.
Yeah. Excited to hear your insight. And then we have our Momentum Money Maker friends, Brian and Joe. Joe, welcome. Joe, I'm worried. I'm worried you might have went to the store and got stuck in some Super Bowl traffic because I know that's up by your way. Are you excited for the festivities this weekend?
You know, I normally would not be excited seeing Seahawks in the Levi Stadium, but the wife is from Boston, so I guess I get a cheer for Patriots.
All right. You know, a little action. I know Brian will have some action on the games this weekend. We talk about that. And Brian, you did something that me and you said during the volatile times. We're like, hey, the light stays on. Does it look on to you?
Hey, the light's on. The gang's all here. It's a Friday afternoon. We're all just collaborating a little bit, a little kumbaya. And Bitcoin's on sale. I have some personal hot takes in the market right now, but excited to dive into it with the boys.
Absolutely. And we're diving into it with a plethora of people on the YouTube Live. Really excited to see Grant. Excited to see CJE. We got Zen Style, Jeffrey, Matt, Paul. Appreciate everybody coming. We're going to kick this off in old school fashion style with Brendan. Brendan's going to pull up the charts, show us a little Bitcoin, show us a little ETH, what's going on in the price action, the charts, and that'll open us up to a full conversation with the full analyst team. So I'll hand it back off to Brendan to get us started.
Absolutely. Real quick, everyone, before we begin, quick little disclaimer. You know, nothing that we say here is financial or investment advice. We're not your financial or investment advisors. And so, you know, we're just a group of guys here on YouTube. So quick little disclaimer. in that front. But, you know, when it comes to Bitcoin here, I mean, let's look at the move. When you look at what Bitcoin has done over the past roughly week or so, we're going to go a little over a week. We're going to say, hey, what has Bitcoin done since maybe last Thursday? And you measure this thing from top to bottom. Bitcoin fell about 33% in just over a week in an 8-day window. So from last Thursday, January 29th to today, Friday, Bitcoin's fallen about 33% to the downside. You zoom out to the all-time highs, and Bitcoin has fallen about 52% from the all-time highs down to our most recent low, right around the $59,000-$60,000 level. So 52% off the highs, about 33% in the last week, roughly. And we saw a sharp acceleration, one of the largest accelerations that we've seen in Bitcoin in, I would say, years, just yesterday. And so yesterday was that big candle. I mean, it was a negative 14% red day for Bitcoin. This was, you know, just billions and billions of dollars in market cap getting erased from the crypto market.
New year usually means new devices. Phones, laptops, tablets, from grandma all the way down to the kids, or at least spending more time online. That's been a good reminder to actually think about digital security again. I've been using Webroot, specifically their Total Protection Plan, which is an all-in-one option if you want coverage beyond just antivirus. What stood out to me is that it combines real-time antivirus protection against things like malware and phishing scams, identity monitoring with alerts, and this is a big one, up to $1 million in expense reimbursement for eligible out-of-pocket costs if identity theft ever becomes an issue. Total Protection also includes tools like a password manager and web threat protection that blocks malicious sites before you visit them, plus options to protect multiple devices and even family members, all without slowing your system down or throwing constant pop-ups at you. So here's the deal. New year, new device. Whether you're upgrading tech or sticking with what you've got, now's the time to protect all your devices at 60% off with Webroot's trusted cybersecurity solutions. Visit webroot.com/crypto101 and get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com, webroot.com/crypto101 for 60% off. This offer is only available through the Crypto 101 link, so make sure you use it. webroot.com/crypto101 and get up to 60% off their Total Protection Plan. This year, choose protection that's right for you and live a better digital life with Webroot. A well-built wardrobe is about pieces that work together and hold up over time. That's what Quince does best. Premium materials, thoughtful design, and everyday staples that feel easy to wear and easy to rely on, even as the weather shifts. Quince has the everyday essentials I love with quality that lasts. Organic cotton sweaters, polos for every occasion, lighter jackets that keep you warm in the changing seasons. The list goes on. Quince works directly with top factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're not paying for brand markup, just quality clothing. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still look good season after season. Guys, the coat I got from Quince was perfect for when I went home up north for the cold winter this holiday season. I got so many compliments. It was perfect, and it still looks like it just came out of the box. I'll be wearing it for years to come because the quality is that good. Also, they have so many awesome other things. I love their workout shirts. They have awesome polos. I got a couple button-downs to wear for date night and even some sunglasses that look cool. I got all this stuff because the quality is great, and the online shopping experience for Quince.com is super fun. They literally have so many options. So going on their website and shopping is literally something that I truly enjoyed, and the products match. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still looks good season after season. Guys, the coat I got for my northern visit this holiday season was perfect. It kept me warm in the cold weather, and it still looks brand new out of the box. So I'm going to be wearing it for seasons to come. And guys, the price was spectacular. The online store is so fun and so easy. So if you're interested in that, you got to go check out Quince.com. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to Quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, QUINCE.com/crypto101. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
when you look at this, you know, this was like one of those big capitulation like events. It was complete free fall. And we came down to that 60K level. And so that kind of brings us to where we're at. Because if you look at how much this was, like we were falling in here, right? Kind of outside of this bear flag and TiVo. This is something that, you know, I know you and I have gone through. And if you are one of the members here, and, you know, we know that a lot of you are a part of Crypt Nation internally here. You know, this is something that we have been talking about behind the scenes in some of the newsletters, just about the closer price action of Bitcoin. But looking at this big bear flag that we were in and then seeing the big breakdown of this, you know, this was kind of that expected move. And so now that the expected move has happened, everyone's question is like, guys, you know, why did this happen? And what are we thinking from here on out? I mean, do we even want to buy this thing? Should we just sell it at this point? And we've gotten a lot of questions about it, and we want to start talking about those catalysts. But we want everyone to understand the chart first, because we did have that kind of sharp move down, the first move out of the bear flag, brief consolidation, and then the second move down, which brings us to where we're at. And there was really no buyers here until we reached that bottom around 60K. Then later last night, the buyers started coming in, and they've pretty much nonstop since later last night. We've gone from around $59,000 to $60,000 all the way back up to around $71,000. So buyers stepping in for the first time in about a week here on a, you know, somewhat strong basis. We have Bitcoin up 12% on the day as it's rebounding. We have Ethereum up around 13%, Solana up 11%, XRP up about 20%. And then your average altcoin is up pretty much double digits across the board, depending on the project, with a few outliers here and there. And so when we're looking at this, again, let's kind of go back to the original premise of what's happening and maybe where we can look next. Because as we zoom out over here, you know, Bitcoin is now well below the 200-day moving average, well below some of these other shorter-term moving averages, and it's breaking beneath some of its prior all-time highs and its prior swing lows, like the tariff crash, for example. So if you're measuring this, the tariff crash was right around here, and, you know, clearly we're kind of going into lower lows. A couple of things that I've noticed. The RSI, and this is a couple little fun metrics for everyone to kind of just take note of. The RSI over here is at the most oversold point that it has been, it's pretty much tied for second, the second most oversold point that it has been in the last decade. So the one-day RSI at just about the second most oversold point that it's been in the last decade. And of course, the RSI stands for the Relative Strength Index. And then if you look at the MACD, it's at the most oversold or the second most oversold point in history. So the second lowest point that we've ever seen the MACD in all of Bitcoin's trading history. Another little fun metric here is if we take a quick look at the Fear and Greed Index, we're back down at a 9. If you don't know, anytime the Fear and Greed Index gets to a 9, it historically marks a very significant event, and it alludes to the fact that, hey, this thing's probably oversold, and that's what it's typically meant as you zoom out. The only times we've ever really seen the Fear and Greed Index this low is if we go back, you can see, hey, it was this low at the bottom of the tariff crash. It was this low at the bottom of the 2022 market. It was this low during that 50% retracement after last bull run. It was this low during the COVID crash. It was this low during the 2019 pullback, the 2018 reversal, and stuff like that. And so you really only get the Fear and Greed Index into the single digit range at a 10 or lower when you're at some sort of massive market bottom or typically around that area. And so that's where we're coming here, is we're starting to reach into areas that are like deep into the zone of extreme fear. And you're seeing that on the Fear and Greed Index. Obviously, we're seeing it on the price chart. You're also seeing it on things like the MACD and the RSI and everything else. And I'm realizing now that I'm not actually sharing the Fear and Greed Index. But you guys get the picture of what I was trying to say here. And in fact, let me just share this because I think it is valuable for everyone to take a quick look at. So let's throw this up on the screen so that everyone else can view this guy. But this is what I was looking at over here with the Fear and Greed Index, because I think it's important for everyone to have a visualization of this and what it looks like. And so that's where we're at right over here, right? You know, all the way at 9. And this brings us into historic territory. So as I move us back to the chart here, And before we start getting into the rest of the topics with the guys, you know, this is what we're looking at. You know, this is what we're looking like for Bitcoin. And so we're starting to come into some really, really important ranges. The final thing I'll say is that if you throw up any kind of volume point of control chart like this, you're going to immediately notice that this is that big volume point of control. But we were talking about this a little bit the other day, but this is that big volume point of control in here. And you can see that the price action is catching right on this, which is another thing that we had been talking about a little bit behind the scenes here and just saying, hey, it's very common for Bitcoin to move from one kind of large volume point of control to the next. And that's really what Bitcoin has done here. So I would look at this from a much more zoomed out perspective and say, hey, this was that expected move. If we had broken down out of the bear flag, we've done the move. And so now the big question is, A, why did this happen and where can we go from here? So guys, I mean, let's talk about why this happened in the first place. I've yapped enough. I got a couple of thoughts on it, but let's open up the floor to some conversation. What stood out to you guys? I mean, I know that there was a lot of different ideas about why this happened, but what did you guys see on the front lines?
I was just going to say, I know there are a lot of ideas out there and it's probably multi-causal, but my sense is the primary cause of the most recent move down is probably Kevin Warsh being named as the likely next Fed chair. And he's going on record saying he thinks the Fed balance sheet is too large and that he'd like to let about a couple of $1 trillion of it run off, which would suck a lot of liquidity out of the system. My sense is crypto is the most liquidity sensitive asset class. So I suspect that's the primary cause. I know 1010 is there and some other factors too, but that's probably, if you made me choose one cause, that's the one.
What about the rest of you guys? Brian, Joe, anything that you guys have kind of seen as maybe a leading cause or catalyst here?
Yeah, I could jump in with some thoughts here. I think there's a few different reasons that have compiled into one. Obviously, we have the residual effects about 1010, and we've talked about that on a lot of rundowns. Rohit nailed it. I think some uncertainty around the new Fed chair and Fed policy moving forward causes some concerns as well. We have our fair share of geopolitical issues. I mean, we're slapping people with tariffs here and there. We're trying to, you know, explore Greenland and acquiring that in some fashion. We have what's going on in Iran. And then we have volatility in traditional assets as well. Mm. We've seen some our fair share of volatility in some traditional assets. And as much as I believe the thesis behind Bitcoin and digital gold, and I still think that's a strong thesis, it's not acting that way right now. And I think it can get there. But it's looked a little bit more risk on. So we're seeing a little bit more of a sell-off. And then you could even point to like the tech and the AI sectors drawing some attention and drawing some liquidity. But I'm going to kick this over to everyone else because I don't want to take too long. But personally, there isn't like one point here, like when FTX happened. We've talked about that in the past. I was like, kind of like, this isn't good. We got Tom Brady talking about how he lost all this money and Steph Curry and FTX and somebody stealing money. I was like, this does not look good for crypto. Right now, it doesn't feel like one of those times. And that's why personally, I look at this as like, I'm contrarian with everything. We're all part of the momentum money makers. We're always looking for opportunities. And this feels like an opportunity to me. I understand that we could go a little bit lower. We could chop here for a little while. But fundamentally, I feel very strong about the outlook of crypto and all these institutional bids and where we're headed. So this is an opportunity to me, but those few reasons I named, I think just have caused a trickle down effect and the price was sensitive.
No, I would agree with all of that. I think it comes down to this idea that it wasn't just one event. And that was the most common thing that I saw was that people reached out to me, lots of texts, lots of messages and DMs and everything else of people saying, guys, what happened? Like, what was the reason? And the answer that I gave to everyone that asked was it wasn't just a single catalyst. It wasn't like the COVID crash. It wasn't like the tariff crash. It wasn't like FTX or Alameda or, you know, whatever else happened or It wasn't like anything blew up necessarily, at least not that we know of yet. It was a bunch of different factors working together. And so I'd list it out, and I'm going to repeat a couple of the points that you guys mentioned. But I'd say, hey, the 10-10 crash, the October 10th crash, largest single-day liquidation event ever, you know, more than like FTX and Luna and COVID and all these different things combined. It was massive. And so I think what we've seen there is a cascading effect of liquidation since then. It wiped out a lot of the bulls, a lot of the people who were long, a lot of the people who were pushing up the industry. They were, I would argue, you know, artificially wiped out because of the liquidation event that we saw. And that hurt them all. And that really wiped out a lot of their dry powder because it was on leverage. So I think that has caused a series of cascading liquidations. The other things is, Brian, I mean, you're right, macro fears. There have been macro fears and uncertainties, and people have been a little bit more nervous. You've seen the dollar kind of just whiplashing in value from weak to stronger. And that's been a talking point. There's new fears around, hey, this is a new Fed chairman coming in. Typically, they get tested. The last couple ones have been. And then also, like, what are the new policies going to be? Are we going to cut? Are we going to hike? You know, is there going to be a weak dollar? Is there going to be a strong dollar? The new Fed chairman, Warsh, has said, hey, I want to lower the balance sheet by trillions of the Fed. His stances, you know, have made people say, hey, maybe, you know, maybe we're a little bit more nervous just for the moment. And that's not too out of the ordinary, because you typically see a new Fed chairman get tested when he goes in. And so that's another thing. Even though that's a couple months out, people are starting to review what he's been saying and his policies, and they're trying to price that into the market, specifically the risk on market, like cryptos and equities, but also viewing all of his views. And you've seen some of the effects in the metals market as well. Other things here, you know, he's mentioned a lot about, you know, well, not even necessarily him, but more so like the secretary side of the current administration talking about strengthening the dollar. Historically, that's not been a good thing for Bitcoin, but they've gone back and forth on this as well. You know, we saw in January it was weak, you know, then maybe they want to shift to a strong dollar. We've seen a back and forth. So again, just mixed signals. The other big thing that I would say here is that there's two final factors. One, you've seen a tech slowdown, right? There was this tech explosion across the board, whether it was crypto, Bitcoin, altcoins, AI, tech in general. You saw it in NASDAQ, you saw it in Bitcoin, both exploded off the tariff lows to new all-time highs, right? Both sides. What you've seen is that since October, if you look at the traditional side, it hasn't necessarily been great as well. You look at NASDAQ and the tech sector since October, it hasn't been great. In fact, I'll flash up a quick little chart here for everyone to just view, but you can see, let's see if we can get this up. There we go. That if you look at NASDAQ, for example, you know, this is what it's been. Now, does it look maybe as gnarly as Bitcoin? No, but it hasn't been great. When you look at this thing since October, which is going to be right in here to where we're at today, it's basically chopped up, down, up, down, up, down, back, forth. And even recently, it's been pretty gnarly to the downside, doing about 3-2% days of red in a row, back to back to back, which is somewhat rare for an asset like this. So the tech sector as a whole, not been doing particularly good here in recent months. And so I think you can't just say, well, why is Bitcoin the only thing that's not doing great? When in reality, most of the tech sector here isn't doing particularly great either. And you know, one of the things that we'll talk about a little bit later on is that we did a bit of a study looking at how Bitcoin has performed versus software as a whole. And it's pretty close. And we have a chart for it. And we can get into it maybe a little bit later on. But that was another thing that I looked at. And so that kind of brings us to the final point, which was just this idea that someone probably blew up. Now, who that is, we do not know. But there's probably someone or something that blew up. There probably is a dead body floating around out there. And that just hasn't come to the surface yet. But that's more speculation. Again, we don't know who it is. We are speculating a little bit there. But to see that kind of a meltdown, that is something that comes to the top of my mind as a potential possibility. And so those are all the reasons. Again, can you narrow it down to one specific thing? Not really. There's a mix of factors. And I think what it did is it created this perfect soup of saying, hey, let's put all these factors together. We're going to brew the perfect storm. And then what happens after the sell-off starts escalating? Well, peak fear, right? You get panic selling. And I think that's what we really saw here in recent days was the factors pushing the market into kind of this mode and then panic selling, escalating this farther than it probably should have been. Does it deserve to be down? Well, let's look at the fundamental side. What has fundamentally shifted since October? Well, I'll tell you what. Is the SEC going after crypto now all of a sudden? No, not happening. Is positive crypto regulation still getting pushed forth? Yes. Has Bitcoin gotten destroyed or gone offline? No. Has Solana? No. Has Ethereum? No. Have there been upgrades? Yes. Have there continued to be more ETFs and more institutional attention? Yes. Was BlackRock and JP Morgan and Citigroup and all these different banks at Davos and stuff that just were talking over there, they were all hyping up crypto. So has anything fundamentally changed in the last several months? And the answer there is no, really not from the fundamental side. What you have here is you have fear. You have fears because maybe the market structure bill and the Clarity Act, they got pushed down the line a little bit. That's going to accelerate things like fear. But has anything actually fundamentally shifted in the last couple of months in terms of adoption, progress, or overall network health? And the answer there is no. In fact, what we saw last month with Ethereum specifically, I'll give you two stats and I'll roll it back to the guys. Two stats here for end of year. Well, the first one is in January. In January, Ethereum just about doubled its previous cycle's high of transactions per day. And it doubled that last cycle. So think back, peak NFT, peak meme coins, peak everything in that last cycle. Ethereum was able to double that all-time high in transactions and have gas fees under 1 cent. That is tremendous. So double the activity, less than 1 cent gas fees. That is a milestone amount of progress. On the Bitcoin side, Bitcoin last year, and I had this number up. In fact, I'll try to grab it real fast. But Bitcoin last year was able to do nearly more transactions than Visa and MasterCard combined. And what it came out to was MasterCard did 9.7 trillion transactions in 2025. Visa did 16 trillion and Bitcoin did $25 trillion in transactions. And so again, you know, when you're looking at the total amount of activity here that's happening, it's hard to say, hey, this network is not doing well or it deserves to be devalued when its total transactions in terms of US dollars was, again, more than almost more than Visa and MasterCard combined. So again, I'll double down on this. From the fundamental side, you haven't seen a gigantic shift. You don't see the large banks and asset managers and governments really walking away from crypto. If anything, there's even more of a push to double down here. I'll open up the floor to the rest of the guys. You know, anything kind of coming off that, guys, anything that stood out to you or any other individual thoughts that you all have?
Like you mentioned, Brendan, fundamentals hasn't changed. There's no big, you know, liquidation of a firm or like the Luna stablecoin or FTX like last time. We're still waiting for potential dead bodies to float to the top. But fundamentally, like you said, nothing has really changed, which keeps personally me very optimistic.
Guys, before we go into maybe where we go from here, you know, all of us, for people who maybe are newer here, we all play different roles in the team, right? We all like to maybe specialize, right? We can all analyze the crypto market, but we all specialize in different areas. So when it comes to me, I love the charts and that kind of data front. When it comes to Rohit, he is fundamentals and low caps. When it comes to Brian and Joe, you know, anything that are these sharper momentum plays, you know, that's what they're really on top of. So that can range anything from, you know, maybe NFTs or memes or anything else that you guys do. But where do you guys view where we're at right now? Before we talk about where we're going, I mean, has there been anything that kind of stand out? Because when I look at the technicals, and I guess I can take it first. When I look at the technicals, just kind of examining this, it's like, hey, you know, we are deep. We're breaking into some lower zones. But one of the things that we've seen is, number one, you know, I think most of us have been through worse, right? A drawdown of around 52-ish% is something that I've seen multiple times on Bitcoin. And so that's not necessarily anything new. And again, from a fundamental standpoint, you see there be the most capitulation towards the bottom, right? The most hope is lost, the most will never return from here, the most Bitcoin is dead, and all these things. It typically happens pretty close to the bottom or pretty close to a really good buying opportunity. But what have you guys noticed? You guys, maybe it could be a statistic or a data point from your guys' side of the things, or it could just be something that has remained hot and maybe a little bit more high momentum, or anything that's going on.
Yeah, I'll jump in here. I'll tell you one of the biggest key indicators that someone could get is when we're in a ripping bull market, my text messages are nonstop because everybody feels like they missed Bitcoin. And this is everybody in the show. Everyone knows this is true. And then when we're down low and when we really feel like we found that local bottom, I pay close attention to this because, you know, I do a lot of momentum trading. Whenever we're there, I get text messages like, I can't believe Epstein is Satoshi. It's like from like smart people, like, and you know who you are. You're probably in. But you get a lot of these different. We've been here before. You nailed it, Brendan. I mean, this isn't my first rodeo. It's not my second rodeo. I've seen these corrections. Nobody loves volatility in the moment. I understand, like, I have kids. I have kids' college funds. People have retirement accounts. Nobody loves it. It is so difficult when we see volatility in some of something that makes so much sense, like Bitcoin and crypto and the integration of where we're going in the future. And it's tough. But again, I just want to harp on the opportunity here, because there's so many different and interesting opportunities in this space if you're paying attention and tuning in as much as you can. And this happens a lot. And I wasn't expecting to see a dip as far as we dipped down here, but nothing really screamed out to me to be extremely scared. My personal take is we probably found that local bottom right around what we touched, like 50K last night, 60K. That felt like a very local bottom to me. And I did think earlier today, like, what happens if we touch back to like the 63, 64 range? I feel like there's going to be a lot of buyers that step up. That's like what my gut's telling me. That's kind of what it looks like. So I do think we found a local bottom here. I'm optimistic. Now, do I think we're going to shoot back all-time highs in the near future? I think there's going to be some choppy waters. I could see us touching that 72, 74 range and rejecting. I was actually looking. I'm not a TA guy. That's why I leave Brendan up here for. But I was actually looking at the Bitcoin chart. It was like March 2024 to like the October range. And we touched that 72, 74 range like a dozen times until we broke out. And that it feels like we're maybe back in that similar area. That's my gut feeling. That's some of what I've been seeing in the streets. Curious what everyone else thinks.
Let's see, you know, I guess when it comes to the market turning around, what are you guys analyzing? What are you looking at? Let's start with Rohit here. I mean, what are some of those key factors?
Well, so something I was going to mention just on a like an individual protocol basis, it seems like the strongest, some of the most fundamentally strong protocols have held up the best. So like with Hyperliquid, I think it just fell from 37 to 33. And if you look at it, if you chart it relative to Bitcoin or Ethereum or almost any other token, like it's kind of zipped up. Basically, that happened even as the markets were falling apart. So it's like my sense is there are a lot of large buyers for it on a fundamental basis, just because the cash flow, I think, is like $700 or $800 million a year. Like they're set, if the token price didn't change, they'd be set to buy back like 10% of the market cap. They have like the HIP3, all those new markets coming on board with HIP4. It's like prediction markets are going to be built on top of it. There's a lot going on there, and it's trading at a decent multiple, and it's starting to increasingly take market share from centralized players. So like one thing I noticed is with Hype, just the fundamentals are strong. And the other one I noticed that's holding up well is Canton, just because it increasingly seems like it's going to be the on-chain rails for TradFi. NASDAQ, the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, basically every institution, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, BlackRock, BNY, like everyone you can think of almost either has an equity investment in them or is running a node. So yeah, those are the two that especially stood out for me.
I got to give a quick little shout out to the podcast. We actually just did two podcasts, one with the Canton team and then one with the primary treasury group and one of the biggest backers behind Canton. And so if you are interested in learning more about them, one pod is out. The other one will be coming out in probably a week or two here. And so we got that coming your way. And you can see that either on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Guys, let's open it back up the table. Factors to keep an eye out on if this market is going to reverse, if this market's going to turn around. What do you guys want to see? What are you guys looking out for? Is it volume-based, activity-based? Could be anything. Let's open it up to the momentum moneymaker guys.
I actually look at a lot of your technical analysis, believe it or not, Brendan. And also, Brian says he's not technically sound, but he's telling me support structure all the time. He's like, Joe, it's touching 50 and that's when it's going to bounce back. And he's absolutely right. I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to see major support zones and rejection areas. So I look at that fundamentally, but on a macro level, just what you're talking about, right? Are people risk on? Is the political climate, more risk adverse or risk on? Those are things that, unfortunately, crypto's following very tightly, we're seeing in the last 6 months, right? We've been on this downward channel since 10/10. And for those that don't know, that was the biggest liquidation day in a while for crypto. So it's nothing new to us momentum moneymakers here. We're finding pockets of opportunity, if I could just divert a little bit. So there's still a lot of opportunity. In fact, one of our biggest findings, a new trend emerging, which is a very exciting sector inside crypto, AI agents and cryptos, is really getting really exciting in there. So there's a lot of wins still left inside the crypto world. We just have to keep an eye open. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I mean, from my end, obviously I do like the technicals. I like the charts, but I would look back and say, hey, how have we bottomed out of previous bear markets? And I'd look for a couple of those factors. I think on the longer term, the very simple one is going to be watch that 200-day moving average. That one's going to be a little bit more big picture. You won't necessarily time the bottom or catch that exactly. But if you zoom out to that kind of end of the last market cycle over here, you can see that, hey, really since the all-time highs up in here, ever since Bitcoin broke down, it broke beneath the 200-day moving average, which is the yellow line, right? So let's look at this. It came to the yellow line, broke beneath it, rejected it, spent time beneath it, rejected it. And this continued for the entirety of the bear market. And so what marked the reversal point? Well, I'd say you could look at two things. The big picture thing would be, hey, here we broke above the 200-day moving average, moved back down. Instead of rejecting it, we used it as support, and then we moved higher afterwards. I think that is a telltale sign of a market reversal. When you break above the 200, use it as support, spend time above it, and then continue to higher highs. I'd say the other two things that you could look for here is if you want to zoom in, this is going to be much less consistent. But when you start seeing Bitcoin's price trading above the 20 and 50-day moving averages, and you kind of see little periods of that happening here where it goes through these golden cross moments like it did here or here or here, that signals of like, hey, this is the shorter term stuff of what's happening. But when you see these shorter term moving averages cross upwards over one another, start pointing back to the upside, and then you have positive price action trading above them, using them as support for an extended period of time, leading Bitcoin's price into higher high breakouts, especially above that 200. I think that that's the early signs of a reversal, is having Bitcoin get above those short-term moving averages, have them pointed back to the upside, spend some time above them, and then see Bitcoin use higher lows and break itself out to higher highs. And once you start seeing both of those factors, it's typically something where it's like, hey, if I'm not paying attention, I need to start paying attention to what's happening on the charts. I think another thing that you could look at here off these lows is start looking for different forms of higher lows on the relative strength index as well. One of the common things that you see is higher lows on like the RSI or the MACD. And so when you start seeing it bottom out deep in the oversold territory, so down in here, whenever it's deep in this oversold territory and you're looking for dips, you can tend to see that, hey, when you start forming higher lows, like there's all these different forms of bullish signs that have happened since then, that looks to tend to be the bottoming events. And so I'd look at the one-day RSI or relative strength index and say, hey, I'm looking for higher swing lows around the oversold territory. And that's been a really good indicator. I do the same over here with the MACD and kind of say, hey, the histogram is this bar part, right? Up in here. And then the MACD is the blue line itself. I'd be looking for higher lows on the MACD. Now, what have we seen in recent months? Well, it's been quite the opposite. We've seen lower highs on the MACD. So people are saying, oh, well, why have we been falling and this and that? Well, let's look at the MACD here. You know, we have its high, lower high, lower high, lower high, lower high, all the way down here. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lower highs. Well, let's start to look for the opposite of what we saw pushing us down the last year or so. You know, let's start to see the opposite here. Let's start to see the histogram or these red lines, you know, start to kind of push up higher. So you want higher highs and higher lows, but you especially want to see that on the MACD itself. And I'd say, let's look at both of these signs to start reversing and pushing higher. And I don't think that that would be a bad thing. Other than that, you know, I think we can also look at some of the more fundamental things beyond just maybe price action or indicators or moving averages or stuff like that. But you want to just start seeing more positive price action and performance, right? You want to see Bitcoin's ultimate price kind of move back to the upside. And that was part of some of the things that we said a little bit earlier. But I think all of those are going to be important ones to watch for. One of the things I haven't shown for a long time on here, so you all are going to get a special sneak peek of this, but if you look at Bitcoin's 200-week moving average, there's two factors. Number one, it's been a beautiful buying opportunity, you know, every single time. In fact, let's go to an even more zoomed out chart here on something like, let's do this one. You can see over here that Bitcoin's 200-day moving average, buying opportunity, rose up, buying opportunity, actually broke below it, beautiful buying opportunity. And so where are we at now? Well, we're coming right back down to that 200-week moving average right around here. And so I like to look at what Bitcoin has historically done and how it's interacted with these. And I'd even go a step further and say, well, let's actually look at like the one-week RSI or the one-week relative strength index and what this has presented us. And guys, I mean, I know not all of us are technical gurus over here, but I'll give you one guess as to where Bitcoin typically bottoms out at on the relative strength index. And it's right? So you can see that, hey, guys, where does Bitcoin typically top out in its market cycles? Well, I think it's up here. Where does it bottom out at? Well, I think it's right around here. And it goes to show you, where are we right now? Can it go lower? Yes. But when you're looking at the bottom of a larger move, this has been something that has largely had a full success rate. Now, is anything perfect? No, it doesn't mean it has to work with 100% success moving forward or anything like that. However, we're looking at this and saying, you know, history has been pretty consistent with this metric. You can zoom out on the weekly to the monthly, and you can look at the relative strength index the same way, and it's going to show you the same thing. You know, hey, tops out, top out, bottom, top, bottom, top. You know, a little bit maybe more inconsistent, didn't go quite as high over in here, but the same kind of concept works, where it came into the overbought territory, now it's coming back down towards the area where a lot of these other bottoms were, and it's still semi-consistent across both the weekly and monthly timeframes. So I would look at a lot of these different things and say, hey, I want to use these as signals. And I want to look at what has historically done. And we can look at these past market cycles and we can see that. And so to answer the original question before I hand it back to the gents is that, where do we think the market's going from here on out? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I think it's going to be volatile. I think it's going to be bumpy. I think you better buckle up because it's not going to be a smooth road back. There's people out there saying, I think we're going to be back to all-time highs by the end of next month or the end of the, you know, spring or whatever it may be. It seems a little bit less likely given what we just went through and all the liquidations. It's a lot. Do I think we're going to get back there? I do. You know, I really, really do believe that Bitcoin can go to new all-time highs, Ethereum go to new all-time highs. I think a lot of cryptos can. Now, does that mean everything will? I don't think so. I think there's going to be cryptos that just don't make it back there. Some blew up. Some just are not going to be able to make it back. But there are going to be a lot of cryptos that are able to as well. And there's probably going to be new projects that replace some of the old projects. projects that were able to succeed. You know, the way that I view this is, you know, do I want to be all in, max leverage, no dry powder here? Not quite yet. I saw someone in the chat box say this earlier and say, hey, I want a few more candles. I want a few more days of results. I want a few more days of data to come out. And we need some more days like this to push us higher. And I would agree. You know, is a single day enough to say this is absolutely the reversal? No. I mean, we're coming off of multi-year lows yesterday after one of the biggest drops that we've seen in years. We need more data. And I think that that person's right. So now I'm saying, all right, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think I'm very long-term bullish about these zones. But at the same time, you know, I want to do some dollar cost averaging. I want to get my hands on some large caps, maybe things that are a little bit more safe, and get some exposure for long-term around these areas. But I think Bitcoin can absolutely make it back up there. And you'd look at the chart here, and I would have a hard time having someone argue with me and say, hey, this is the last decade of price performance. We've seen much worse than a 50% pullback in the past. And it has never been such a decapitating factor that we've never been able to recover before. And I would say the fundamentals are even better now, more so than ever before as well. So, gents, I'll pass it back to you guys, but that's my opinion on where we're going next. Any thoughts from you all about, you know, maybe what could be next for the markets beyond just it being, it's going to be bumpy and stuff, but I think ultimately crypto will recover.
Yeah, I can pull up some narrative stuff. You mentioned it earlier, Brendan, about the software trade. So again, I showed this earlier. If people saw it on the screen share, it's, hey, Bitcoin's dead. We've heard it over 461 times over the lifespan of Bitcoin. And obviously it gets a little quieter there. You can see at the tops. And then as it starts to fall, it gets a little more red and people love jumping on it. But I think something you guys mentioned, and we actually talked about it on the podcast, it was Brendan, it was you and I kind of brought it out of the hat of like, hey, I think we might be getting tied up in this software trade. And again, this is just my role on the team of being, you know, the podcast producer, the host, and I'm the social media ninja of the team of just kind of pulling the narratives. I'm not saying this is something that I've stayed up late at night concocting this thesis. The chart shows that Bitcoin seems to be trading a little bit with software right now. And the software narrative that's going around is that AI is a disruptor. Everybody's kind of gotten their head around that, but it's relatively going at a faster pace. And some of these software companies, like a Datadog, Snowflake, ServiceNow, you know, a software as a service, a SaaS company, are they needed anymore? Or are you just going to be able to go to AI and vibe code the software that you want? And so are these evaluations for these subscription companies as a software service completely overvalued? And I think just like anything, like these large money managers, they start to sell first. If this narrative starts to snowball like it has, it's a sell first, it's an ask questions later. And there's a lot of companies, if you go and look at the software companies, down 20, 30, some of them are down 40%+. And then it just kind of snowballs from there. So I'll open it up to the team. Does anybody have a thought around the software take? Just to preface where we can go next with this conversation, somebody put in the sheet of Michael Saylor mentioned it on the call yesterday of kind of building a quantum computing upgrade for Bitcoin was mentioned on the strategy call yesterday. So we could play that clip after we kind of bat this around. But anybody got a take on the software play of, you know, why we're getting wrapped up in it? Is it, do you agree? Do you disagree? Or is it just a coincidence?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it. I think part of it, again, there's going to be some sort of association. You could look at Bitcoin and say, hey, it is somewhat similar to a software, right? Is it a hard device that you hold in your hand? No. Is it a construction company? No. Is it an entertainment company? No. What is the closest thing that you could compare Bitcoin to, right? Just being a bunch of code on the internet and a network. It's probably the closest associated to something like the software industry. So does it make sense when you're seeing fears to related tech sectors that you'd maybe have some spillover? Yeah, I think it makes somewhat sense. Now, do I agree that Bitcoin should be closely correlated to software? That's where I'd start saying I think that there needs to be a little bit more of an independent thought process from the people who are reacting this sharply. And it's probably partially algorithms and bots and stuff like that that are contributing to this. But I can understand as to why there's a little bit of cross-contamination and exposure. Any other thoughts there, guys? All right. Well, let's continue on here and let's talk about the final things. Or actually, Tivo, was there anything else on your end to pull up? I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, so leading down, you're seeing the correlation there go with software, but I thought the stats coming out of the ETFs were interesting. Eric from Bloomberg posting like, okay, everybody's running for the exits. You just saw the software. Software is falling off a cliff. That ETF, I think, was down 20%+. Obviously, Bitcoin taking a big leg down. So you'd think like, oh, these new ETFs, they're new holders. They're going to be running for the exits. What did I get into? And that doesn't seem to be the case, which I think is a huge stamp of approval for the ETFs and the long-term vision of, you know, these ETF holders kind of buying into the Bitcoin strategy of hodling their Bitcoin. It looked like what Eric posted here is still more than 90% of the assets under management are hanging in tough, even though, you know, they're first to weather kind of their first, if you will, category 5 hurricane of price action here in Bitcoin. So that's something in my eyes of like the narrative, like, okay, what is different here? What might be asymmetric? All this downward action. Like, I think they're going to start printing like, you know, we're rushing for the exits on the ETF and, you know, seeing that price action maybe even differ from Bitcoin because they're running the exits so hard. But that's not the case. They're standing strong, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, it is. And when you think about this recent move, everyone's like, oh my gosh, the ETFs are unloading. Everyone's selling. And then you look at the numbers afterwards, Tivo, and it's like, it was 10%. 90% of them are holding strong. And this just goes to show, right? The news outlets are going to make it sound as crazy as possible. They want your clicks. They want your views. They want your attention. It's how they succeed and live. And can you blame them for it, right? That's part of the gig is they're going to make it sound as crazy as possible. They're going to get a reaction out of you so that you come back. And you're like, well, now I have to follow what's next. And then you look at the actual events of what's going on. And it's like, oh, this was 10%. And again, part of this, if everyone would have understood this, would there have been as much panic selling? No. But oftentimes people are preyed upon for what they don't know as opposed to what they do know. And, you know, it's unfortunate. But again, the vast majority, 90% of Bitcoin holders are holding strong in something like the IVID ETF. And I think it's really good information for people to understand.
Yeah, I think it's telling of when they're going to buy this, it shows like, hey, they know what they're buying. They know what the strategy is. It's a long-term play. But I think in the sense of the software, I think that's a good, it differentiates the software downtrend of like, hey, the ETFs did not get caught up in that equal price flow to the downside. So that was the most interesting thing I saw out of all the kind of stats and news. The other one was the RSI. I mean, again, if you think, you know, you're always in the moment in these tense situations of like high volatility, you're really just locked in. But if you zoom out and you're like, hey, what would you have done if you could take a time machine back in COVID and make investments? What would you have done in the 2018 tech crash? What would you have done in the housing market crash? If you could go back with, you know, $100,000 and make one investment, would you do it or would you keep it in cash or would you sell? It's like, no, you want to go back and, you know, obviously a Monday morning quarterback in honor of the Super Bowl here, you'd be like, oh, no, everything's going to be fine. And you kind of fire that capital deployment. So when you start seeing those stats of like, hey, this volatility is matching back when this happened and you wish you might have played that differently. Again, we're not financial advisors. We can't tell you what to do. It's just, I think taking that type of data points and bringing it into the decisions that you're making during these times is always fun to look back on and add into your repertoire of making decisions.
It absolutely is, man. And I think that this will be another one of those moments. So, you know, final thoughts. Or sorry, Tiva, again, I'm cutting you off. What else did we have?
No, just, I guess, catalysts of what we think is next. I think from the technicals, which you did a beautiful job, as always. And again, if you're interested in that, whether it's Brendan's kind of work in the technical analysis or the Momentum Moneymakers or just interested in getting more involved in the community, there are some links in the description. So if you're enjoying this live and you're not part of the community, definitely check it out because it's how you get, you know, nonstop access to the team every week. But as we kind of move forward, like, you know, we talked about the technicals. So we've talked about this on the show before of what could be that catalyst to keep moving us forward. My vote would be the Clarity Act and kind of, you know, sadly, as much as it stinks to talk about politics and the government is, you know, I think that could be a catalyst. And as much as we covered on the show of how there was so much negativity around the Clarity Act with Brian Armstrong and Coinbase coming out and kind of, you know, not giving a vote of support, the Polymarket odds have been creeping up. So I'll pull that up now. I mean, we were down at 40% a week ago. It went all the way up to 70%. Now we're back in kind of that 50% range there. I know Brian is always monitoring the Polymarket odds. But I bring that up just because at the end of the day, and this is a slide deck from the strategy earnings yesterday, but it is kind of where we are. The U.S. government is embracing Bitcoin. They keep saying that the America will be the Bitcoin superpower of the world. Obviously, in the cabinet, there's all these pro-Bitcoin, pro-crypto people. So it is an area of momentum. Again, not to root for one side or the other politically, but just to watch and say, hey, this is where some catalyst, this is where some news flow could get unlocked. It's kind of where I'm looking as the person on the team is always looking for that next narrative, that next online narrative to run on the crypto Twitter sphere and for the hedge fund people to take a look at. So that's kind of where I'm looking. And I didn't know if there's an agreement there or you think the Clarity Act, it doesn't matter. Thoughts around that. I'd open it up to you guys.
I would say it definitely does matter. That's been one of the big things that we've heard over here on the back end. You know, we're talking to different people in TradFi and crypto and everywhere. That is one of the big things that everyone is waiting for because it does exactly what it says. You know, you have market structure, which has been needed. And then you have clarity as when it comes to regulation from the institutional standpoint. Those have been some of the most requested things, and everyone's waiting to say, hey, once there's clarity and structure in place, then that opens the doors for us to do all these other things that we've been wanting to do for years. And so I think once we get that in place, once we get it solidified, the floodgates open again. Can there be some turbulence until then? There definitely can be. Again, you know, I'm not saying, one of the big points I wanted to say from earlier is I don't know, at least I don't think, the volatility is going to stop. I think we're going to get choppy price action. It's going to be, you know, rough here and there still. I'm not saying that the bottom is maybe even necessarily in. I think it's hard to claim that when we're coming off of a new low as of today's candle. So we need to see more stuff. I imagine it being choppy, but, you know, I would agree here, TiVo.
Perfect. We do have one more topic we want to touch on. I actually, in prep for this, I do have a photo I want to pull up. So I was on a walk before we went live, fellas, and I bring this picture up because this is out my backyard. There's some water, and there's these ducks, and they're beautiful ducks, and they fly around, and they'll land on the trees, and they'll play on the sidewalk, and they're in the water, and they're swimming. And recently, there's been this cold snap. As Brendan and I know, we live in Florida. We've been getting 40-degree days, like super cold for Florida. And I noticed this last couple days that these ducks have not moved. I'm looking at them right now at the window. They just landed in the water and they haven't moved for a couple days. They're just sitting there doing nothing. And I'm like, why? The ducks are usually so playful and they're frolicking and they're having fun and they're playing around and they haven't moved for a couple days. And then I was getting ready for this live and it hit me, guys. I was like, the ducks are choosing where they want to be, where they feel the most comfortable. The water is 65 degrees down here in the Gulf. The air is 40 degrees. The ducks feel comfortable and warm in the water. And I think that's a great metaphor as I want to open it up to you guys who are experts as what is it like right now in these volatile times? Can you give examples or your thoughts on how to stay safe, keep liquidity ample for times, whether you want to buy the dip, whether you don't want to buy the dip, and maybe how sometimes, just like these ducks doing nothing and waiting in the warm water and waiting for your opportunity is better. So Rohit, let me toss it off to you. Number one, did you enjoy my story of the ducks? And number two, in these volatile times, can you give the community some information,
analogy
on how you kind of look at the situation?
I enjoyed the story. Maybe for me, the analogy might be whenever markets are falling, I always think about concentrating my portfolio in the names that I like the most and that have appeared the strongest in terms of price action. So like I mentioned Hyperliquid and Canton, I'd have to think about a few others too, but like that's the analogy I would make, at least in terms of managing a portfolio, where like the warm spots or at least the warmest spot on a relative basis are like the stronger names.
Love that. Brian, where's your warm water?
My warm water, that's interesting. Well, I think it's very important that, you know, this isn't financial advice for anybody, but you probably shouldn't be like playing the perps game, longing and shorting right now, because it's going to be choppy for a while. I agree with Brendan. We want to see some, positive action before we can see a clear reversal here. And I think it's going to be choppy for a while. So having dry powder, dollar cost average again, just be smart about it is a good point. Personally, I do think we will see all-time highs in Bitcoin and a lot of these majors in the future, but it's going to be choppy for a while. And I'm okay with that. My warm water is whenever it's gross outside. I'm from Pennsylvania originally. You know, a winter in Pennsylvania is cold and cloudy. This is like, whenever we hit like $126,000 Bitcoin, I'm getting all the text messages. This is the greatest thing in the world. My instant feeling is I'm underexposed. I can't say it enough. I wish I had more Bitcoin. I wish I bought more during COVID when it flashed to $4,000. Like, I'd be on the private jet right now. So when I feel confident in where we're going in the long run with a lot of positive catalysts out there, we got JP Morgan saying that Bitcoin right now looks better than gold. That's literally a headline out there. We have a lot of interesting like AI connections and real world tokenizations and major institutions out there that are into the technology and believe in the technology. We're not making that up. That's literally in print and happening in front of us. We have increasing institutional adoption. We got this 401k allocations, and then the market structure bill, the Clarity Act, will unlock a lot of activity. A lot of those catalysts coming together are going to get us out of the rut, but we're going to be in it for a while. We're going to be in the mud, but this is opportunity for me. And I don't want to tell anybody where to deploy their capital, when or how. That's not what we're here for. But this feels like opportunity for me over the next few months. Watch the markets closely, tune into the rundowns, because things change fast in this space. And my warm water is whenever it's kind of gross outside and I can get some more of my favorite assets on sale.
I love it. I love it. I think I just to add to the point of the people texting you, I'm right there. We've talked about this on the rundown many times. I got bullied yesterday, basically. I even eventually made an image of me working at McDonald's and told my friends, I was like, oh, I don't do any crypto stuff anymore. I just sent them a picture of me at the drive-thru. I think somebody in the comments made a joke that they said they were going to be a Walmart greeter. So again, the volatility comes both ways. The people, you know, we've told the story. I think it was my uncle asked, you know, at 120, is this a good price to buy? And then at Christmas, he didn't even mention or ask anything about it, anything, because he bought it at 120. So I'm right there with you. I got bullied yesterday in multiple texts. So it is that time of price action where you're getting called out. But Joe, could you give the people your warm water?
Yeah, funny enough, this is my warm water. I like dark times because that's where really the opportunity is. Truly, truly, truly. This is nothing new. A lot of people has not experienced a four-year cycle. And everyone was saying, oh, this time's different. The four-year cycle is broken. But I guess it's not. It's not broken. It's here. This is what a typical four-year cycle is. A downturn after the halving. And it's a year and a half later. But typically, it's a year away after the halving where it's a downturn. But we've been actually down this channel for a while now, since 10/10. So it's nothing. This is not a surprise, I would say. We knew it would take until probably to the latter half of 2026 for things to look better. So for important to our members who are more in the micro cap coins, anything sub 10 million, sub 100 million, you got to make sure you got stop losses. I got stop loss out of certain things, which really protected myself. And then in terms of the majors, I bought more Bitcoin today. I bought more Bitcoin today. Brian sending me, I don't think it's a meme coin, but Brian sent me just some alpha for everyone. He sent me an AI agent. That's, you know, one of the verticals that we're in, and it's up. It's up like a cool 100%. So the trenches are moving. Like there's no fear. I'm like that duck. There's like, I've been here so many times that, you know, if this is your first go around and you don't have dry powder, then, you know, that's probably something you need to learn. Portfolio allocation. I see Fu Manchu here saying, I don't want to be greedy and up my investment in crypto. I don't want to break my allocation percentages. But hey, give yourself some variance here. I kind of broke out of my allocations just because this is not a normal kind of like a cycle. And even though if it's choppy here, an entry position here for myself bigger than usual is not abnormal. I'll take a look at it as a year-long goal. in regards to Fu Manchu's question, as long as you don't overallocate in 1 year basis, if your horizon is that long, that is, then that's okay, because you can just kind of, you know, shorten what your allocations is for the subsequent months is should we just turn back up. But, you know, you don't get to take advantage of these times often. That's why we saw a big buy up today. So, yeah, I'm excited. And yeah, I'm excited to see how we end up 2026. Crypto moves so fast. We're going to have some new narratives coming soon.
Yeah, and something we're going to cover here on the YouTube, on the podcast, but more importantly, inside the community. So if you're somebody who's not a member of Crypt Nation, you really enjoyed all the insight from everybody here, check the links below. We got a couple if you want to get more involved and have access to the team, you know, every week. So Brendan, give the people your thoughts of some warm water and then take us home and close this episode out, my friend.
Absolutely. Yeah, when it comes to warm water, listen, I think it's at times like this, it's harder to go wrong in things that have been around for a while, things that have been through a couple of these market crashes, and things that are a little bit larger and safer. Now, does that mean I don't want to own anything that's an altcoin? Absolutely not, right? Doesn't mean that. But what I'm saying is the warm water here is typically like the Bitcoins, the Ethereums, stuff like that, that I know, or at least I have extremely high conviction, it's not going anywhere. I think it's the safest, it's the largest, it's what everyone's paying attention to. You know, those kind of large caps, I think, is what the warm water is at the moment. So if I'm willing to get in and say, hey, how can I manage risk but still get exposure? It's going to be that. And so, you know, we're going to continue to monitor this. And I think as the market recovers and as we see better data and as we see better everything, then I'm okay scaling up the risk and saying, hey, let's get back more and more and more into this. And that'll ultimately come with time. You know, it's not going to be a one day or, dare I say, probably even a 1 week process. It's going to be something that happens over a while. And so, listen, make sure you guys stick around. We put out all sorts of rundowns just like this every single week. We usually have multiple rounds. We have a couple of podcasts that come out. We have some YouTube tutorials and market updates. And whenever there's anything big like this, good or bad, we've done both, good or bad events, we come on here and we do these emergency updates so that everyone can stay alert and aware of what's going on. And man, we love doing it. I mean, like TiVo said, if you want to be a part of our communities, and if you want to dive in and you want to get more content like this, then go down into the link in the description below. We'd love to have you inside of Crypt Nation. But in the meantime, thank you all for watching. We really appreciate all of you tuning in here. Held really good comments and viewership the entire time. And so we see all of you in the chat box, and it's always fun getting to interact with you. And we'll see all of you in the next rundown very soon. Take care, everyone.